You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
We are just going to freestyle this conversation and see where it takes us.
This is a very funny conversation because it's carrying out from just friends talking to just friends saying, wow, why not just do it now when we're just talking about raw conversations? So yeah. Charity, I'm a big fan of your podcast and I just want the audience to know how you behave on your podcast. You're just such a sicko offline. You're a simple person to hang out with. Just feels so amazing being here. It's so amazing.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I get so much love in Kenya. Oh, let's do cheers.
This is what cheers. Thank you. Thank you for the whiskey. I love it.
I don't know if we're supposed to tell everybody what we're drinking.
You guys are not paying, so we can't tell you the exact brand.
Okay. You better run me that check.
Run me that coin, okay?
So we were just talking about having friendships and relationships with people who you can't be the most honest with, because oftentimes when you are honest, your loyalty becomes almost transactional. And you almost have to compensate now for your truth in a monetary aspect, or constantly give to feel protected in the relationships where you've now exposed your truth. So one thing you were saying is just that, like, when you get in those kind of relationships, how do you approach the person or the situation to fix the relationship? How do you approach it to fix it?
As human beings, we always want to have personal connections. We always want to have honesty. We've made love become so transactional that I want to look at Charity as not my girlfriend, but just a girl I can have sex with. Not a girl that we can just be friends and just always just grow each other, just be friends and all that. It trickles down to relationships in that I want to be in a relationship where I'm gaining something. Not a relationship where I'm having a genuine human connection, which is so sad, because now if I am feeling my value to Charity is based on money, my value to Charity is based on the glamour, my value to Charity is based on my connections, is the information I share with Charity is based on what Charity cannot blow my cover on. Unless I have this financial independence of where I can share everything with Charity. But now when I become free Charity without any financial independence, it also strains me as a person, because I'm fearing Charity can expose me, Charity can be this person and all this and all this. But now we need to redefine and unlearn relationships, because I always say networking is the most unsincere thing capitalism has ever created.
Because, and people love the hell out of networking.
I don't like networking because I'm packaging myself for Charity to love me, my fake self, for me to become a fake person, for me to gain monetary value from Charity. And then when Charity and her career crumbles down, I'm like, oh shit, this bitch can just go and burn.
So people are definitely more disposable these days if they can't maintain the level of productivity and reliability that they offer on a very consistent basis.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that one thing Queen Latifah said is never have people around you who have nothing to lose. If you have someone around you that doesn't have anything to lose, they will be the one that caused you to lose everything.
Yeah.
If you and I go out together right now and we're like caught up in a huge situation, we're sitting there thinking like, like we have a lot to lose right now. So even though it's like you really want to get more and more aggressive, it's like, yo, Charity, chill. Yo, you got a lot to lose right now. And then you think about, oh, wait a minute.
When you're in Kenya, you want to let loose. And I'm like, Charity, woman, you have a podcast to maintain. You have a brand to maintain. It also comes down to culture in terms of, what are we as a culture, as black people, teaching or training our kids? What's the importance of who we are? Because I was trying to tell someone, if I was make $1 billion by the time I was 30, I'll just ask God to give me 20 years. I really don't need to be in this mess, to be in this shit. I need to just be myself.
It's almost saying that you will exchange time and life for the ability to live your most authentic life. So
exactly.
You don't need to live 90 years of being fake if you can just get
20 years
of being
real
and being your most authentic self.
Yeah.
Wow, that is powerful. I mean, I believe that too. After losing my mother, I kind of learned the mortality of life brings out a different side of you. And that side is usually not accepted by people, because when I was going through my hard time, everybody wanted me to be that bubbly Charity. Mm. And I couldn't be that for other people because I was drowning myself.
The sad thing is, you being a Black woman, we have placed so much burdens on a Black woman.
Ugh.
Because now we expect a Black woman to be this superhero. Like, for example, my mom had to tell me at some point when you're having a conversation, and I love my mom, wherever she is, I know she's going to be listening to this podcast, and she's telling me, I just needed to be human for 5 minutes. Not to be your superhero, not to be your super mom.
Which is so crazy, because when we're younger, they say, who is the one person you love the most and is your superhero?
It's like my mom, she's the best in the whole world. You put this responsibility.
Yes, and then your mom is like, why you couldn't say a firefighter?
Like, no, if I was to get a girlfriend or a wife who had lost their mom, I want to be open in terms of conversation. And you look at the responsibility that society has placed on a woman. That's why women these days don't want to have a family, because now at work you have to be 10 times better. At Charity's podcast, woman, you have to be 10 times better. If I was to start the same podcast doing the same exact thing, is Charity, you have to be 10 times better than Gisho if you're competing. And this is now where I'm saying we need to unlearn. We need to teach the principle about unlearning. Whatever we thought was normal, we need to be open to be told, okay, hold the fuck up.
What somebody just told you is not exactly the truth. And if it was the truth that you were told, it's your responsibility to maneuver it and shift it so it fits in and it locks into your life. Because sometimes we take these sound bites from people in life and we don't know where to lock it in, and we're just misplacing the information, and valuable information that's getting lost in really bad experiences. I do hear what you're saying. I think as a Black woman, I do have a lot of pressure, and it also bothers me at the same time because I'm not perfect and I never want to be.
And I also want to be released from my perfection. And that's the whole thing about being a mother.
Yeah.
Because now there is someone, and it was my mistake, I posted it on my Twitter account, a woman who's called Wanjaga Venge, she had posted the whole experience on her being a mother. And how she doesn't like her son. She's not going to develop the love for her son. And everybody was like, wow, this woman is such a bitch and all that and all that. And in my mind, I was saying, wow. Like, when I look at the replies I was getting on my Twitter account, because that's the one tweet I got like over 500,000 impressions. Yeah, like the replies and all that. Like, it was crazy. Because she posted on Facebook, and then I took all the screenshots and just put it on Twitter, because now Twitter has this audience.
I think you have to explain to the people here how Twitter is a huge deal in Kenya. Because we're Instagram, but in Kenya, Twitter is such a big deal. Life.
Facebook mostly appeals to the rural audience. My parents, my aunties, my uncles, and everybody is on Facebook. Instagram is more of aspirational. Because I'll see someone with a new Range Rover, I'll floss with my new car, I'll floss with my new apartment, I'll floss with anything on Instagram. But now Twitter is where I get the deep conversations. Like, if I want to understand, like, where people stand on a different issue, BBI, I need to understand on Charity has got to Kenya, like, she needs to interact with Kenyans and in a deeper level. I know Twitter will give me that issue. Even getting to connect with the whole world, it's Twitter.
That's interesting, because I think as Americans, although we have the privilege of a first world, we don't realize how the world connects with us. We're always expecting them to just get us and be a part of us.
The problem with you Americans is you're shielded in your own privilege. Because when you look at whites, look at Africans as illegal immigrants coming to take their jobs that normally are done by white Americans. And then you look at African Americans and whites. They're very similar in how they look at us as Africans.
Yes.
When you look at Lupita, a role that would have costed Marvel $21 million, factually, which you can Google, they paid her $3 million. So to a white American actor, that's an issue. To an African American, that's an issue. If Gishoy is going to America today to do a housekeeping job, I can take even up to $30-$50 an hour. But a white American will take $100 an hour. An African American, same. So both of them will look at me as an African, as an enemy.
I understand what you're saying because they don't necessarily appreciate or understand that the need for you to succeed and provide food on the table is much greater than you having to be pompous and demand a certain price tag.
Exactly.
You're always willing to take something the over same, nothing.
The same thing I always talk about refugees. I'm very passionate about refugee causes. An immigrant had the choice and was just looking for a better life. A refugee didn't have a choice leaving their country. So in this world, we should not have a world where we're describing someone as an illegal immigrant.
Hold up.
And we should not have a decision where we're looking down immigrants. It's our responsibility to protect refugees. Because, for example, I love Kenya. I'm comfortable.
Comfortable.
In terms of, I can ball and ball out. I'm fucking rich, man. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast. In terms of I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable too, which is why we can relate on when we say that you buy loyalty. Issues. We know.
Yeah. In terms of, I can live in the most posh suburb in Nairobi, drive a good car, go to the best bar. My whole environment will be a privileged life. So even if, and I know if I go to America, the land of opportunity, the land of the brave and the free, I lose some of the privileges of me being comfortable around this environment. The only reason will move me from here is me being a refugee. It's out of the situations around me that are moving me to a better life. But if, for example, I was living in a slum or working for Gishoy, working for charity, as someone used to cook or clean or do all that crap, and then I found charity gave me a window to jump into, give me an opportunity to be an immigrant, that's out of my own choice. I'm just looking out for the best life for me.
Why is it our culture?
I call it our culture because most of us have built our lives around American culture.
Yes.
We consume music, we consume movies, we consume motivation. We create this whole culture around we are living to work.
Instead of working to live.
Working to live. Like, no, for example, you, for example, hey. Charity, you're such a snob. Because no, you can't.
I'm a snob or
yeah,
a snob or
you
what?
You're a snob because, Charity, you can't just calm the fuck down, man. Like, just have a day where you're not thinking about business, building an opportunity, empowering black communities, empowering black women. Can you just calm the fuck down?
Do you really think I'm like that?
You're like that. Americans are like that.
Well, tell me about me before you compare me.
No, I want to can I just, because it's your podcast anyway, your audience needs to know you. Charity, you're this kind of person that I don't want to see you when I'm not at my best. I want to come and sit down with you when we have discussing climate change, elections, this. And it's not your fault. It's because you're in a culture where work is embraced as life, which is not like that, because now you're empowering consumerism.
I think you are wise beyond your youth. That's I'm getting intelligent.
Because I remember, we're having this conversation about Trump.
Yes.
And you challenged my thinking because you challenged the stability of who or who I am in terms of making people vote or making people make a decision. Because you told me, when I say I'm voting for Trump, you can like act surprised and then tell me to go vote because you're like, you've already made a judgment of me without asking me why. And I wanted to listen to you why. And then I said, wow, you said like it's business. And I'm like, wow, consumerism has already got to your mind in terms of you're not like ready to listen to why rich people should do a fair share of taxes and for us to afford government service. And I wanted to have that conversation with you.
Oh, man, you are dragging me. Let me say this.
I need to have this conversation with you.
I will say this because I feel like I have a lot of friends on Instagram, friends who I love dearly and who are part of my close friends on Instagram, you know, yeah. where you share your ratchetness. And a lot of them are heavy Joe Biden supporters, and they are very much so like anti-Republican Trump supporters.
Yeah.
I am not a Trump supporter. Just like any refugee or any immigrant, I'm just trying to survive in the space that I am.
Yeah.
When you make a vote, it is the most private and intimate thing you can do. And it actually creates guilt because you don't know how to vote for yourself without thinking of other people. But the reality is that voting is the most selfish thing you will do because you're basically picking your rights and the things that you want over other people. And I think a lot of the things that we are forced to vote on,
That's a very important point, because you need to make people understand that voting is a selfish.
It's selfish. It's not selfless, but a lot of them go in it thinking like, well, if you're not going to vote, at least think about your friends. No, that's not what voting is about.
I want to interject. I know black women are never given a chance to talk, but I want to interject to support you in that. For example, if today, Mike Sonko, you can go Google it, people, your audience in America, Mike Sonko, I'll vote for him any day.
Tell us why.
And everybody was looking at me so awkwardly when I said that. Actually, I went to a place where I had so many distinguished professionals, so many distinguished urbanites and all that, like classes, you know, classes people. I used to live in this place where there was no water, and I used to pay over $700 in rent a month. In African country, that's a lot of money, guys. So shitload of money, guys.
Yes, because let's compare appropriately. Like, you can pay $200 a month and you're still considered like middle class.
Yeah.
So if you're paying $700,
it's a lot of money.
You have climbed Mount Kenya.
So what happened is Sonko sorted out a water issue. Sonko sorted out our garbage issue. Sonko sorted out my road issue. I would go to work in less than 10 minutes, a place that will take me 40, 30 minutes to get to.
Okay, so if we had an honest conversation, I think that we would have to address this idea that here in Kenya, you don't do the best job you can possibly do because you want that job again.
Yeah.
That was explained to me, you even saying exactly is weird. When that was explained to me that is how Kenyan people development, operate,
Development isn't a key factor for you to get elected again.
I'm trying to say that we are now teaching people that your worst work is your best work because you could potentially take your own self out of business.
And development is a favor.
Wait, what do you mean development is a favor?
The way we look at it as Kenyans is development is a favor. Because now I'm praising Sonko based on things that should already be working. I should not be paying $700. And I'm not getting access to water. I'm not getting access to basic fucking needs.
Yes. Me, I want water.
I want water, electricity. I'm praising the bare fucking minimum.
Which is funny to me because when it comes to places like Nigeria, where they can have Lamborghinis driving through the potholes and no consistent electricity.
Us as Africans, if any Africans listening to me, I need you guys to talk to me and tell me why we settle for the bare minimum. We deserve better. You know, getting electricity, getting a road, getting water is something the government should already be doing for us. I should not be here sitting praising the governor of Nairobi for delivering something that someone failed for 5 years. Which is like the bare minimum.
Can we segue this and let's just talk about what is it in our lives that convinces us that the bare minimum is the maximum?
I think it's based like from slavery. Like everything has to go with slavery. Guys, kindly. Sorry, I have to bring this up. It goes with...
Someone
told us, you guys are dying with malaria, you guys don't even have clothes, you guys, your religion is so crap, you guys are not even civilized. What do you have to lose? Let us take you to the land of the free.
So you're saying that Westerners and these Caucasian European Americans created a space that was more superior so that we could lament to want to be there in a way in which if we could get even a little bit, then maybe we were worthy.
Yeah, exactly. Because now when you look at everything, why is it that all other cultures, white cultures, Caucasian culture, which is, let's say, French, Italian, Spanish, can have a funny English accent and still get a job in any competitive global company.
Oh my God, you're taking us.
But now, an African, I can give an example with Kerto Murungi, the governor of Meru in Kenya, went to the same school and same class as Barack Obama, but he still has his heavy Meru accent. But now when he goes to white folks.
You know, it's the same thing like in the South, they have a Southern drawl. However it's pronounced. So we're cheersing again.
We're cheersing again.
Everybody, if you're with us in the car, riding, wherever you're vibing, cheers. Salamanti.
You're cheersing to white people all over the world, working all over the world, who acknowledge white privilege.
I don't know if I'm even qualified to have this conversation with you, to be very honest, okay? Because I think that you're uprooting some things that are so deep, you are so audacious, and you are so bold. I don't even think that I'm at that place in my life where I can be and think like you do. So I'm actually humbling myself in your presence because I agree so much with you, but I don't have the confidence to speak like you. And we need more people like you that are relentless because oftentimes when you live a life of privilege, your privilege chokes you and you can't say things the way you need to say it for the sake of humanity. And I desire to be like you when I am even bigger and better, that the money, the success, the wealth, and the access doesn't stop me from being me. It is important that we value the time on earth as purposeful.
There's something I want to tell people is I come from the Kikuyu community and my family my family was very instrumental in the struggle for independence in Kenya.
Wow.
In terms of Mau Mau and all that. So I'm a product of my family's trauma.
He is a product of my his family's trauma.
I'm a product of my family's trauma.
Yes. Out of the ashes.
Yeah. Because part of my people were put in concentration camps. Part of my people were killed. Part of the women in my life had to be the man and the woman, and also the women who provide to me, who are now breadwinners, my whole life. I had to look at women at a different perspective, which affected my relationship even with women.
In a good or a bad way?
It's in a bad way if a woman has... I can't call it in any situation because now when I look at charity, I'm looking at charity as someone who has to be strong for me. If I'm going to date charity, I have to look at charity as someone who has to change me.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. I could cry.
You get. I'm not looking at charity as an equal human being carrying her own trauma as her as a person. I'm looking at charity as the woman I have, like the woman that has been made in my mind for her to be a woman.
I'm even getting emotional right now because I think that, again, you have finally articulated something that we can't miss. And it's the fact that women have been put in positions where we are expected. We are expected and we are not considered human. Yeah. We are something way beyond that. And a lot of the times I feel, and I say this because you mentioned it, that, oh, charity, when I'm around you, I feel like I need to be on this level. Yeah. And it makes me stop and think, Charity, why are you conforming to idealism that you don't even want or respect for yourself? I do feel that as a woman, even in dating and in any situation, I have to be stronger than a man, and the man still gets the privilege of his strength.
Because of,
it's that men and, have and, privilege.
Like today, I was having this conversation with my driver. I don't like to call him a driver, I call him my personal assistant.
I don't know which one is better. Can I just put it this way?
I was trying to tell him, I have my own problems, bro. Sometimes you tell me your problems and they put me off, because in terms of your problems might look small to me. And it's not a me issue. It's just that the things I'm going through, the things I'm battling as a person, when I hear you telling me the issues you're going through, and I'm like, wow, you want me to stop battling this and hold the fuck up for you, for me to make priority for this? But for you, it might be the biggest problem going on, man.
Yeah.
I was reading about the guy, the owner of Alibaba.
Yes.
You don't remember his name. This guy had so much to say about the financial system in China. So what does the Chinese government do? Cap him out. Like everything, he had the most expensive IPO on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, his opinion on the financial system being unfair cost him $37 billion. It was being reported by the New York Times.
How many?
$37 billion.
Do you understand that? Money?
Have it here. Actually, let us not be a podcast of sharing emotions.
We black and we proud and we love our emotions.
We just emotional as fuck. Yeah, let's just have the facts.
They should buy that merch next. Emotional AF.
Yes. Thank you, by the way. Let's secure that bag any way possible.
So funny.
It's Bloomberg that's reporting Jack Ma's blunt words just cost him that $5 billion. They were delisted. Costing him that $5 billion.
We're segueing.
No. We have to like give people, and this is where like media fails. We fail our audience based on we're not giving people context. They have the information, but they don't have the context. Today we're having a conversation with someone who was saying we need to have a bit of dictatorship. And I'm like, you know what? You need to read about Hitler. Hitler was loved by the German people because he made the economy better, created jobs. He was like everything that Germans wanted. But what did he end up doing? Creating a whole Holocaust because of that thing of us glamorizing this benevolent dictatorship. Like now, what Jack Ma is facing is the dictatorship of not having a voice. He's Chinese. He's the richest Chinese guy. He doesn't have a voice. Like, say, the financial system for the poor is against them.
And
like,
for us in America, it's for us.
And you know, the whole thing of China and America, like America getting to China, was Bill Clinton, who he had expected that is going to export democracy to China. Which happened to China exporting censorship to America. NBA players, which now we'll have to do this as a podcast on its own, because ending time is running out.
No, time is never running out with you. You know, I think what people have to understand is that America is probably the most ignorant combination of people, because the world around us knows more about the world around us. And with us, we are in a bubble.
Again.
And I pride myself on being a huge intellectual being, and I feel like, oh, I know this and I know that. I can make it on the golf course and talk to rich people about stuff. But I'm even wondering, how do you, as a Kenyan, born in Kenya and raised in Kenya, have the capacity to not just accept your truth, but also the truths of other people? Because a lot of the reason why I don't pursue a lot of news-oriented things, or why I can't even speak as eloquent as you, I actually feel like for the first time, absolutely embarrassed, because you know so much, but I can't even take in that much information. What do you think makes you more capable of that truth for you and the world that you accept?
It's because one is, I have a very liberal mom. She doesn't think of herself like that. Actually, my mom thinks of herself as a conservative, which is very funny. But my mom used to push me to read more, watch movies, understand cultures, understand people, argue. Like, there's this one time my mom found that I have converted to a Muslim. She was emotional because, you know, my mom had grown me up as as a Christian. As this,
how old were you?
18, 17.
Kids are on this earth to drive their mothers crazy.
It's crazy, I swear. So, like, and like, my mom was, how will I put it? My mom had no issue with me being Catholic because my mom had raised me to be a Protestant, but she had an issue with me being a Muslim because now, for her, being a Muslim is also a social construct around Islam. But no, what she told me is, if you get it and doesn't affect our equal balance, it's okay. And this is the one thing we don't always get. And also, Charity, I need you to be open to this in the next podcast in America and all this. Because I think America right now, America is the greatest country in the world, arguably. I know Americans don't see that, but us from outside see America as the greatest country in the world. But you need to understand this. When you want to grow, when you're stagnant, like now, there's a point you get to a career where you're not growing anywhere. Until you get to learn, you need to unlearn some of the habits that have been working for you that maybe are preventing your growth. So now, us as a people, as a culture, to unlearn so many things that you have learned, as a people, as a culture, as also how we run a society, not even as Americans, as Africans, as Europeans, or everything, just as the human race.
You guys, we are going to do a part two for this because this conversation was way too amazing.
Yeah.
So I have more. Oh, you're sharing. I have more. Cheers. Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity. And don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram @ Chatting with Charity.